You're listening to the Big Papa Net.
You're listening to At Eye Level on the Big Papa Network. I'm Matt G, and this week we're taking a look at the interesting new burgeoning industry of comedians who drive for Uber. So we have Vicky Wagner and Robert Field and a few others who are going to be calling in. So join us, won't you? 714-459-3941 At Eye Level, the comedians of Uber on the Big Papa Network. And welcome to At Eye Level on the Big Papa Network. I'm Matt G., the mad scientist behind this crazy experiment. That fat kid with glasses you knew growing up. A middle-of-the-road, middle-aged, middle-class, middle child. And never was. That could have been, but isn't. A 46-year-old work in progress. Whew. Sorry if I'm a little out of breath. I was actually just downstairs. I had to get some water at the last second. And then had to let the dogs out, etc. You know how it is. Whew. So allow me to breathe for a moment here. So anyway, this week we are talking to some of my fellow comedians who are also Uber drivers. We have a recorded segment. I spoke with Vicky Wagner a few days ago, and we recorded that. We're going to listen to that for a while, and we also have Robert Fields who's going to be calling in. And we've also invited some other comics to call in as well. So hopefully it'll be, an interesting, like, you know, back in the days of the panel discussions, but only this time it'll be funny because it'll be comedians. So if you are interested in calling in, if you're a comedian who drives Uber, or if you're just a comedian, or if you're just an Uber driver, or you're someone that knows them and loves them, give us a call. 714-459-3941. 714-459-3941. Or if you can figure out how to connect with Skype, then, well, hey, by all means, don't let me stop you. Go for it. So, and if you're listening on the download afterwards and you want to reach out to us, head over to the Facebook page, facebook.com/@eyelevel, and give the page a like. And if you want to leave any comments or anything, feel free to do so. If there's something that you want to share that you think we should talk about, or if you want to, you know, tag on something, or if you want to see links to the stuff that we talk about, because I do post them there throughout the show. So check all that stuff out, facebook.com/@eyelevel. And you can also send us email feedback@bigpapaonline.com. And you can follow me personally on Twitter @FatKidGlasses. On Facebook, it's Matt G, facebook.com/it'sMattG. Or on Instagram, it's me, Matt G. And yeah, Tumblr also. We're on Tumblr, but we hardly ever post there. So just check us out, Big Papa Online, or tumblr.com/BigPapaOnline. Let's see, where else am I? Oh, that's it for now. More social media, yeah. Why the hell not? So anyway, without any further ado, let's bring him on. The only other voice in my head that I don't mind hearing, the Cato, to my Inspector Clouseau.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Doc Savage, what's up, Doc?
A friend with weed is a friend indeed.
There you go.
What the hell? Go.
It was synchronicity. You know, I was just watching Leprechaun in the Hood, and that line popped up, and I thought of you, and it was about a minute or two before the show started, so I held it for you.
you've been holding on to that one for a while, eh?
About a minute and a half.
Well, at least it wasn't a fart this time. So, so how's it going?
All right.
I'm blue in the balls right now.
You are? Oh, I'm so sorry. Maybe you should have that looked at. I prefer cock. I just said I prefer cock.
Yeah, so what's going on?
To each his own, you know what I'm saying, man?
Yep. Not judging you.
Really have to listen to the whole show. Go back to the archive, really, you know. Find us, go to iTunes and just look it up, all the back episodes, and just find them, you know, and download them, and you can get all the history and see all the context behind all that stuff. So.
How fun is that?
Go to Big Papa Online, go to iTunes Store, go to Big Papa Online, check us out and listen to us on one of your devices. So, I just thought that was an opportune time to throw that in there.
There you go.
Yeah, but I don't know. Lots going on, but it's all behind-the-scenes stuff, and I really can't talk about it, and some of it I just don't want to talk about because it depresses the shit out of me.
That's good.
But I'm focusing on the positive, so it's all good.
Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative?
That's right. There's something big in the works that I'll be able to talk more about, like, in the coming months. And then I'm still, you know, have the whole comedy road tour in the works, too. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't know. It's just a lot. And there's all the other fun stuff.
So I see you got somebody hanging on the line.
Yeah. Why not bring him on? I'm not sure who it is yet. So let's find it. Let's bring him online. You are at eye level.
Matt?
Hello? Yes.
It's Robert Field. I'm just hanging on the line waiting for some calls.
Oh, hey, Robert. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I think I call it early just to wait and listen to you a little bit.
Oh, cool. Well,
yeah.
Well, since we have you on, what are you up to, Ray? Are you actually out on the road right now? Sounds like you're in your car.
I am in my car, but I am not. I'm out on the road, but I am not. I'm not Ubering at the moment. I figure I'd take a little break and think about it for a moment before. Have somebody in the car as I'm doing this, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, like a live Uber on the air kind of thing. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we've been doing here lately, though. So it would definitely be fitting with what we're doing. I don't know if you listened to last week's show, but we called it. I was on the road doing my part, and Doc was in the studio, and so yeah, we've done that a bunch of times before. So,
no, I got a few minutes. We could definitely try to think of a fare. That'd be fun.
Cool. Yeah. So sign in on the app and go online and see what happens.
Find the weirdest person that while you're driving by, look for like a homeless guy that's wearing like a skirt or something, and then pick them up.
I will say the other day I went to pick up somebody and there were two people outside and one was falling over drunk and I was definitely concerned that was the one who was getting in my car.
Look for the guy that looks like they're tripping on bath salts and that's the one you...
it's a little early out here though. Hopefully they're not drunk yet. That usually happens about 10, 11 o'clock.
So you're calling in from New York, right?
I am coming in from New York. Yes, I am.
So you're like right in the middle of rush hour pretty much, right?
I am. So I was just driving home trying to get to someplace safe before all the callers decided to come in and call.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I was going to say, we have a pre-recorded clip that I was going to play first, so that'll actually give you some time. You can kind of, you know, keep us in the background, and then we can bring you back on when it's over.
That sounds cool. And I'll do a little posting on Facebook, see if we can get a couple other callers to comment.
Cool. Awesome. Definitely.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Cool. So, all right, we'll put you back on hold then, and we'll bring you back on in a little bit.
It's a pleasure. I'm listening.
Cool. Awesome.
Yep.
All righty. Let's see. I forgot how this thing works now. It's been so long. Okay, yeah, that's the button I click. where was I? Oh yeah, next week. Do we want to tease that yet? I mean, I know we talked about it, and do we want to pull the trigger on that one, or do you want
to? That's totally up to you. I mean, I thought we were doing it this week, so I was like, wondering when you're gonna fit this all in.
No. Next week. That's fine.
Okay.
So
go ahead. Tease it.
Should we? Now, do we want to be vague, or do we want to just, like, come right out with it? Or
You can come right out with it, you know, because that's what the American people want. They want common sense. Somebody's going to come right out and do it. Don't be a moron. Get your head up out of the food trough. Stop going for donuts, and then you'll know. You'll understand that what we're talking about here is common sense.
Okay, let me explain something to you right now, okay? I will take charge of the situation, and I will do whatever is necessary to make sure that this gets done, okay? So here's the deal. Next week, at eye level, 6 p.m. Eastern, we're going to have the presidential debate, Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders. So check that out, or you're fired.
You're fired.
That's right. If you want to keep our job, you will tune in next Monday for the presidential debate between Bernie Sanders and the two Trumps.
Don't listen to this socialist. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Look at this guy. He's ready for the geriatric ward. I'm worth billions and billions of dollars. You know that I'm telling the truth. You listen to me. People know. They see my name. They give me respect. Look all over Mexico, all over the Latino communities. I'm seeing these lovely little things. They got these dolls. I think they call them piñatas. They got my face on it. They love me.
Let me explain something to you. I know that Bernie Sanders is originally from Brooklyn, but now he's in Vermont. He couldn't handle New York. I still live in New York because I got the balls to live in New York, okay? I understand what it takes to be a New Yorker.
So tune in for more of that next week, 6 p.m. Eastern at eye level on the Big Papa Network.
And maybe Chris Christie will stop by, too.
Yes. Between snacks.
So, yeah, you don't want to miss this one. It's the very first ever 2016 presidential debate here at eye level. Hopefully the first of many. We'll see. We should have done this 4 years ago.
True. Well, same cast of clowns.
Yeah, I suppose.
Different players, some of them.
Only the names have changed. It's all the same. Right. Bon Jovi was right.
same old situation. Same old song and dance.
So, anyway, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and I'll play. We'll play the Vicki Wagner segment that I recorded with her the other day. It's 33 minutes long, so we'll have some time to kill there. So. There you go. We will be back with more at eye level on the Big Papa Network after.
Hot, crispy, creamy, delicious Italian cuisine from the ovens of Brooklyn right here in Southern California.
Valentino's Pizza offers Brooklyn-style pizza, calzone, homemade meatballs and lasagna, pasta, sausage rolls, sandwiches, salads, and for dessert, try our spumoni and delicious homemade cannoli. And don't forget our fresh homemade bread, baked daily, so tempting you will think you're walking through the streets of Brooklyn.
You won't be far from authentic Brooklyn cuisine at Valentino's Pizza, located at 975 Aviation Boulevard in Manhattan Beach and 150 South Sepulveda in El Segundo.
For hot, fresh delivery, call Manhattan Beach at 310-318-5959 or El Segundo at 310-426-9494. Or visit our website at valentinospizza.net.
Valentino's Pizza, bringing you the heart of Brooklyn one slice at a time.
Join us on Tuesday nights at 6:30 Eastern for an exploration of the many roads and methods which promise to lead us to the ultimate answer, a higher purpose, the meaning of life.
I'm just like a lot of you, a middle-aged mom with piles of laundry and a meditation practice. I've been down many roads to get where I am today, and my journey is far from finished. But I'd like to share my experience and hard-earned wisdom with you. What is it about women and spirituality? It seems like we're always the first to try out something new. Christianity was spread in large part by wealthy women. Where would Uncle Al be without his scarlet women? And who is by far the largest audience of New Age alternative spirituality? What is it about us that always has us seeking? And why does it always seem that men tend to take over what we discover?
Join us for a dialogue between two long-lost friends representing both
the yin
and yang, aspects of the whole, each of whom had traveled multifarious paths all across the spectrum of spirituality, the dark side
and the light,
from the organized to the out of the way.
This show is for all those frustrated in their quest who've been through various stops on the spectrum of spirituality and found them ultimately unfulfilling.
Join us for some hard-earned lessons and thoughts on potential new directions and possible value in what inevitably fails in organized practice, but which may have some merit to the solo practitioner and fellow seekers of truth in this journey towards light.
Moving Towards Light, lessons in life and spirituality from an unconventional seeker.
Bringing more to you only here on the Big Papa Online Network.
On Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Join us for Weird Scenes Inside the Gold Mine, your essential guide to all things wild and wonderful in the world of cult entertainment.
Drop in for a spell with Doc Savage and Lewis Paul, myself. Discuss the beloved, the hated, the weird, and the wonderful world of cult film, music, television, and more.
We'll be covering classic film, shows, musicians, and literature of the past, with an eye towards what new visions may still arise from the soulfully derivative mire of our modern age.
Tune in. Turn on and take a step outside the mainstream as we dig deep into the rich vein of cult cinema, music, television, right here on Weird Scenes Inside the Gold Mine.
Only here on the Big Papa Online Network.
On Blog Talk Radio.
We are at eye level, almost live via Skype, with our next guest, who is also a fellow comedian and Uber driver. And she is also the host of Brash Babble on Time Warner Channel 36 in West Hollywood. She's the winner of the 2013 Battle of Comics. You've seen her on ABC, NBC, Bravo, TLC, and all over the place online. Vicki Wagner, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, Vicki?
Hey, man. How's it going? Thanks for having me on your show.
Doing pretty good. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So before we get started, I just wanted to you drive for Uber and Lyft, right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I started with Lyft, and then I went to Uber like 3.5 weeks later.
Cool. So you're double dipping then, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Vicki Wagner?
Well, I'm from Chicago. I am born and raised in Chicago. Tell you a little crazy stuff. I went to a Catholic school for like 7 or 8 years. My dad was the president of the Devil's Disciple motorcycle gang, so there was a little contradiction there.
Nice.
You know, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, everybody's like, they didn't want to sound scary. You know, they didn't want to be scary. They just sounded scary. You know what I mean? With the scary name.
Sure.
And so grew up, you know, in a suburb of Chicago. My dad worked on the train, so I kind of come from a blue-collar working family background. I went into the Air Force when I was young. Then I got kicked out of the Air Force for kissing a girl. Yeah, exactly right. And even though I had slept with like several guys in the military, that was fraternizing. That was okay. You know, it's always okay to do that, certain things. But
sure.
back in the day, I got kicked out. So then I went on, got out of school, worked for a casino, was a dealer in a casino for a while. A lot of people ask me about that. I dealt blackjack, roulette, and Caribbean stud. And that's kind of like the background for my comedy, because that's where I, you know, started trying to make people laugh, because I figured, okay, if I can make these people laugh, then they won't be so upset with me when they're losing all their money. I'm serious. Like, you're standing there like you can't even run away, and these people are, you know, yelling at you for losing them.
It's like, I just lost $5,000. Damn you. What the hell?
Yeah, I was a high limit dealer, so you're exactly right. Sometimes they'd lose $5,000 in one hand.
Wow.
And yeah.
So it's like you told them to bet that much, and it's your fault, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't glue your ass to the table, man. You can get up and go at any time.
Exactly.
You know? So
that's like, I guess, just extreme customer service, really.
Yeah, it's extreme customer service, because you kind of like have to not only be nice to them, but you have to baby them and stroke their egos and, you know, try to just be charming, because, you know, also working at a casino, it's all about getting tips, too. You know, I mean, we make
sure.
All of our money on tips. So unless you're really upset with somebody and you're like, really, man, you know, come on. You're like, oh, you lost $100. That's the worst day of your life. Really? You know, and some guys would like throw fits like, I just lost $100. It's the worst day of my life. And I'm like, OK, dude. All right. So people are starving in Africa and being raped around the world. But it's your worst day because you lost $100.
Sure. I actually worked customer service for a while, and I think that is probably what, I don't know if I'd say inspired, but has definitely informed some of my comedy, and I think it's almost because, you know, it gets to a point where you just kind of have to laugh at people and stuff. Did you find that the same?
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, while I was there, I was just trying to, you know, when I first, you know, started off, I had no inclination I was going to be a comedian or whatever working on the casino, but, you know, I just was one of those people that would just hear jokes and retell them. You know, like jokes. Like, remember old school when people actually told jokes?
Mm-hmm.
And I never tried to pass them off on my own, as my own, but at least I had heard so many jokes from different customers that I would constantly pass them on to other customers so that I could just make people laugh. And it's always been kind of in my background. Like, I come from a really funny family, and, you know, we had a really quirky way of looking at the world, and, you know, we did fun stuff and put on little shows in our basement and everything like that growing up. And so it wasn't like, oh, I became a joke teller and then I'm going to tell jokes on stage.
Right.
But, like, I've never been that kind of a comedian that tells jokes on stage. I'm more of an observational comic. So as life went on, I just, you know, I didn't even realize I was already becoming a comedian. Like, when I was at a party, I'd tell a funny story and blah, blah, blah. And then it was my English teacher when I was in college who told me I should be a stand-up comedian. And I was like, really? Like, how am I going to pay my mortgage doing that? And I never looked into it further, but, you know, I was that person that was the funny person at the party and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't even realize I was being funny. Like, even now I'll say things and my friends would start cracking up. I'm like, how is that funny? As opposed to some people that I know, and I'm sure you know, who are comedians who deliberately try to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it just falls flat. It's just like, you know, a couple weeks ago I went out with some friends and I was just, you know, I had a couple of drinks, which I don't drink that much. And I was, and I honestly, they're like, oh my God, you should be taping this and blah, blah, blah. You should go in your routine. And then another friend of mine who was a comedian who was then deliberately trying to steal the spotlight and be funny. And she wasn't, it was falling flat. So, mm-hmm. You know, in comedy, you either got it or you don't. And you know that. I mean,
sure.
Some people can walk on the stage and they are hilarious. And some people come up on the stage and they suck. So, you know, I just kind of, you know, used my natural gift of, you know, being funny to, okay, fine. You know, like, so many people, by the time I finally stepped on stage for the first time, I think I was 32 years old, finally, you know, I had probably heard, you should be a comedian, probably 10,000 times. And I'm not even kidding. And it was a girlfriend of mine here who was an actress who, she used to do one-woman shows all the time. She convinced me. She'd be like, you are so much funnier than those people. So I did it, you know, the right way. I took a class. I'm like, well, I don't know how to, you know, set up my routine or anything. So I took a class and read a book. And, of course, you know, here, you know, in Los Angeles, they have all those classes that debut you at the improv, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got my debut at the improv with my 5 minutes of material, you know. I was like, I have 5 minutes. I'm a comedian, you know. I'm like, okay, 5 minutes, like, you know, like 5 minutes is just my intro now. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
So I got up on stage at the improv and, you know, luckily for me, it went super well. And I got booked from that night, like 10 different bookers. And then it went from there. And at that time I was doing my comedy, you know, about getting kicked out of the Air Force for being gay.
Mm-hmm.
Because the teacher of the comedy class told me, you know, in comedy, of course, it's all about niches and you better set yourself apart. And, you know, there's men and women have a lot harder time in comedy. So the further you can set yourself apart, the better. And she's the one that told me I should do my routine on that. And I'm like, I'm not going to do my routine on that. That's not funny. And then she's like, but you'll stand out. And she was right, because 3 weeks later, I landed on the front page of the West Hollywood Independent and the Los Angeles Independent, which have a circulation of 1 million, and boom, my career took off from there. I mean, I hit the ground running when I got into comedy. I mean, it was just literally, as soon as I started comedy, I mean, I was just getting more and more stage time, more, you know, more interviews, more, I've been abandoned in the newspaper more times than I can count for my routine, and it's kind of launched me off. I mean, it was faster than I probably deserved at the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I probably did not deserve all that attention, but it was based on the material I was doing. So it worked for me. It was a good springboard.
Very cool. Very cool. It's actually good to have a niche, and that's, you know, it's kind of what it was always ingrained in my head for a while. The problem I always have is, like, being, you know, the middle-aged fat white guy isn't really much of a niche anymore, so.
You got the dad bod. Are you rocking the dad bod?
Oh, no, I have couch bod.
That's awesome. Couch bod.
Yep, basically all I do, even at my job, is watch TV all day. So, you know, I just developed couch bod over the years.
That's funny. Couch bod.
Would you say that like there was like a specific aha moment for you where you just decided I'm going to go for it, or was it just kind of happened and you were like, oh wow, I'm doing this now?
Well, what happened was, you know, when I first moved out, you know, I'm from Chicago, you know, I was in the Air Force, so I was used to moving around, but I had moved to Phoenix. And when I was there, I went to television broadcasting school. So I've worked at UPN and a couple other television, local television stations at different places. And I mean real stations, not public access. And so, you know, United Paramount Network, it's now called the CW. That's where I got my start and everything. And then I moved out here to California. My mom actually is the one who asked me to come out here to California because she had a house out here and a suburb of Los Angeles, if you could call that, you know, deep South Orange County. And I got a job working for the news. So I was working for a 24-hour news station and, you know, doing, you know, some documentaries on the side. And I kept coming up here to Los Angeles and meeting people and running into people. And after a year of living here, decided to move here to Los Angeles because I lived like 80 miles south of L.A., you know, straight south on the ocean. It was a beach town. And everybody was like, oh, you should get into comedy. And, you know, up here, you know, in Los Angeles, it's such an entertainer's climate. I mean, everybody here is either an actor, a model, a comedian, a singer. I mean, you know how it is, a producer, a director. 90% of the people I met were in the entertainment industry. And so because I had my background and I had a small production company at the time, too, I kept running into a lot of people who were in the, you know, in this environment. And how it finally came to be with me finally going to stand up is the woman who is a really, I'm not going to mention her name, but she's a pretty famous comedy teacher here in LA, and she needed some video work done. And so she asked me if we could do a trade, you know, for the video work for the comedy class. And, you know, after hearing, you know, and like I said, my girlfriend at the time, you know, oh, you should try it, you should go out. And I was so nervous to get on stage without. I didn't know, what am I supposed to talk about up there? And honestly, I didn't even know at the time that people started doing, like, open mics. I had no idea, oh, if you want to be a comedian, go to an open mic and test out material. I had no knowledge of that, so I just did not know at all how comedy even worked or whatever. So I ended up trading my video skills for, I traded it for the comedy class, and that's how I got into comedy. And the comedy class was an 8-week-long comedy class. And like I said, we debuted at the Improv, the Hollywood Improv on Melrose, and it went from there. And just, you know, I was one of those comedians that, you know, went every, you know, I would perform anywhere. I mean, I've performed in bowling alleys, backyards, living rooms. You know, I'm surprised I never have laundromat comedy yet.
Well, I just heard that Johnny Flowers is doing an open mic in a Walmart parking lot in Orange County. So.
Oh, really? Are you serious?
Yeah, he did it last night.
No, see, no, I'm not gonna go there. You know what I mean?
Well, you almost came to my cigar store comedy show in Tustin a while ago. I remember that, but we couldn't.
Oh, really?
You were working the night I was doing it, so, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, like, you know how that went. When I got back into comedy, I mean, I did pretty well when I first started, like I told you, and then I took a hiatus, you know, I took a 7-year hiatus from doing stand-up. Wow. So I went and, you know, I went back to school, I got a degree in political science, and I thought I might want to go into, you know, politics. But, you know, I was doing comedy, and like I told you, I hit the ground running. So I have traveled all over the country doing comedy, and I was getting sicker and sicker, and I'm not sure if you know, I'm a diabetic. So it really affected me, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. This is so exhausting, like, to go, to meet people, to shake hands, and, you know, basically be on display for other people, you know, for if you get, I'm sure you know, like, some of the places when you get booked, you know, they give you, you know, first class, and they put you up at the penthouse suite, and then you're kind of, sometimes they want to take you around and parade you around to other, you know, to go to the party and go to the dinner and go here, which it sounds glamorous, but if you're just getting sick, sick, sick all the time, that's why I got out of comedy to begin with, you know, so I took a 7-year break from comedy after doing it for 5 years. So, and basically now, you know, when I came back to LA and everybody I know now, you know, some of the people did know my past and some people didn't. They just thought I was some brand new comedian here. And I was like, I literally went back into comedy in February of 2013 and was headlining already by June of 2013. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I think some people here who didn't know who I was at that time were like, oh, how'd she, you know, do that? I'm like, look, dudes, I've already been doing this for like 5 years and traveling around the country doing this, you know, I was doing it for my living prior to taking my break. And then I just missed it so badly. I really did. I tried to do other things, Matt, you know, but I was like, God, I really miss being on stage and I miss comedy. I miss that instant feedback from an audience. And either yes, you like it or no, you don't. You know what I mean?
Sure. It is very addicting, I got to say. I mean, I had done it for a while in the 80s and then stopped doing it. And then just, you know, two and a half years ago or so, I got bit by the bug and just haven't stopped since.
Right. You know, and that's how it goes. It's just like you jump back in and then new doors open. You meet new people, you know, like even me doing my local television show. I mean, that is a public access television show. It's Time Warner Cable, you know, and I decided... as a matter of fact, my girlfriend at the time was like, hey, why don't you get back into doing television? Because I have a background in, not only did I work in television, you know, I know television because I have a degree in it and also worked there, but I started in 2008, started doing like a funny web, web stuff, just funny interviews. Like, you know, I have a web series, Lesbian Knows Best, you know, me giving advice to straight people. And it was, you know, pretty funny novel idea. It was just done as a joke. I mean, but it's had almost 2 million views on YouTube. So she's like, why don't you start a show with comedians? And, you know, that's how you can get your foot back in the door. And that's really why I started my show, Brash Babble, was to meet other comedians. And I'm like, okay, you know, I have a platform and I can meet other comedians and I can get to know who's who here in Los Angeles. Because as you know, starting all over again, the game changes every time you come. Like, if you and I were to get out of comedy today, let's just say a year and a half goes by, the players are mostly going to be different in a year and a half because people come and go in comedy. They drop out. Some move up. Some very, very few move up. And as you know, very few move up. And the rest of them just stay spinning their heels like a hamster at these bars and little crappy nightclubs here. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't ever break out of that ever. And then they consider themselves some fabulous comedian. And it's like, man, you got to work, dude. You got to do the work. It's show business.
Sure. And that's what a lot of people seem to forget, that you know, actually how much work is involved in there. It's not just, you know, showing up someplace, getting on stage and telling jokes. There's a lot of, you know, preparation involved. There's a lot of planning. And then just getting yourself booked is a full-time job all on its own.
Yeah, getting booked is a full-time job all by itself. Exactly. And, like, that's why, you know, you got to meet people. You know, that's why I was like, okay, I'm going to start the show for comedians here in Los Angeles. It's just me and two other comedians talking about topics, not talking about current topics or current events, but just stuff that's topical that can last. So if you listen to it in a year from now, it'll be just as funny as if we taped it a year ago, you know. And that's, you know, reaching out, networking. I mean, it's just comedy is all about reaching out. And everybody wants you to do something for them and get on their show. And it's like, okay, you want to come on my fucking TV show so that I can come be in the back room of the laundromat. Like, you know, what, you know, it's like, okay, let's. No, that's not a good trade. You know, that's not an even platform. So
having someone on or being on someone's podcast isn't enough to get them on your show, then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. No.
Don't you know that's the whole reason I booked you, was so I can get on your TV show?
No, but I already like you anyway. So, I mean, and also, as you know, this is all about, this is a business. It's all about friends, you know. It's about people who you like, you know. It's like, who do you like? Who do you get along with? You know, like, if you're on even someone's Facebook pages, you know, Facebook is such a huge resource for comedians.
Oh, yeah.
To network with each other and also to see their tone and their comedy and, you know, what are they really like? I mean, you could go on someone's Facebook page for a week and, you know, find out who is this person.
Oh, yeah.
Just the stuff they post. So, you know, I'm sure private investigators' jobs have become much easier.
Oh, definitely. Or and job recruiters, too. They're always checking people's Facebook pages now.
That's what they even say. If you're looking for a job, you better take your Facebook page down. And that's exactly right. You know, it's a big deal because, you know, there's Mary, like, you know, drunk, you know, or, you know, there's Joe right there smoking a joint, or, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So...
It's like, or on the other side, it's like, oh my God, look at these like extremely, you know, racist or political or whatever, you know, crazy things that they're articles that they're sharing or whatever. It's like, you know what? Maybe we don't want this person here.
Exactly. I mean, I've got a friend of mine from the Air Force I recently reconnected with, and I have no idea how he became so extremely to the far right. But I'm like, what happened to you, dude? You know, and then the stuff that he posts, I'm like, oh my God, most of it's not even true. And it's like, oh my God, really?
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. You get to find out who somebody is, and you know, it's a good way of networking with people and meeting people, and then go from there.
Sure.
But you got to move on. Like, okay, you started a podcast. You've got to move on, and you can't just. Some people just think, oh, I'm just going to go do an open. Like, I don't do open mic nights. I haven't in, I don't know, several years. I'll be honest. You know, but some of these guys think, oh, I'm just going to go to a different open mic night every night, and that's going to make me funnier. First of all, no one is really listening to your routine because they're concentrating on their routine. And if they are, they're probably going to steal your jokes. You heard, I mean, because people go to an open mic night, there's very few established comedians going to open mics. They're new comedians or people like, I got up and I did my, you know, no, you're not getting, you're not the headliner.
Right.
You're not getting paid or you're not a feature that's getting paid or, you know, you're not sought out for a 20 to a 50 minute routine. You know, doing your 5 minutes isn't going to help you. And I mean, you heard what, of course, everybody's talking about what just happened on Twitter. You know, they're just taking people's jokes down because they've found a logarithm to find if that's someone's joke or not, because there was such a controversy over joke poaching on Twitter.
Sure.
You know, like, that's the same thing as going to an open mic. There's no difference. There's no difference between going to an open mic and someone poaching your jokes than you posting all your jokes on Twitter. That's why, like, for myself, I like to just put my joke into the meme, you know, like, I'm making a graphic and be like, here's my joke. So
right.
You want to share my joke, it was mine first, you know. Here it is. This, you didn't hear it. You saw me with a picture telling that, you know, joke. And, of course, I can't tell long joke. You can't tell long jokes. You got to do just basically a bump-up joke.
Right. Yeah, bumper sticker type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was it that made you decide to start driving for Lyft and Uber?
Money.
It seems to be the most common answer I'm given.
Actually, I've got a friend of mine. She's a female comedian. Two female comedians, actually. You know, I wish I would have jumped in on the heyday of Uber, but I missed that boat. Mm-hmm. And just a friend of mine telling me that, you know, she just started driving for Uber and Lyft at the same time and was making, like, tons of money and, you know, finally paying her bills. But I was still leery of it. I'm like, I don't know about that. And then fast forward, like, 6 months later, another friend of mine who was also a female who I trusted really well, she's like, oh, you know, we just need some money on the side. She's like, it's not a glamorous job, but, you know, it definitely helps out at night with, you know, paying some more bills. And I'm like, well, how much you make? And she's like $100 a night. And I'm like, you know, or $200 a night. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, when I first got into it, I was, gung-ho. And I started with Lyft. And I actually started when I didn't even get that big promotion because my friend sent the link out too late. Like, here in Los Angeles, Lyft was offering $1,000 to join. I'm like, okay, I'm on it. They only offered it. They offered it in Chicago, Washington, a few other places for a week, and they offered it here in Los Angeles for one day, 24 hours. That was it.
Wow.
And I missed it, so I missed a $1,000 bonus. I never got anything for joining up with Lyft, and I was like, well, that sucks. But you know, then I was already signed up, so I was like, all right, so I'll just drive around. And then that same friend's like, hey, Uber's offering a bonus. You know, it's like $100, $150 to sign up. I'm like, well, I'm already doing this. I might as well sign up for Uber, too. And, you know, then I just signed up for Uber because, as you know, driving for Uber and Lyft gives you extreme flexibility. You work when you want. If you want to get up at 6 a.m. and drive some people to work and jump on the morning bandwagon of people going to the airport, that's your gig. Or if you want to drive people home from work or the late night crowd of drunks and crazies. So
you've pretty much worked all those shifts, is it? Working?
Yeah, I started working at night. You know, my shift would be like 6 o'clock at night until like 2 or 3 in the morning, because that's when all the money is. Or, you know, and it was fine for a while. I was excited about it. I was like, oh, this is fine. You know, it's making good money, getting the surges. Both, you know, both platforms would get a surge. And then it started at nighttime for me as a woman. I don't know if you've had any women, female Uber drivers. It went downhill because it was like you start getting people who, you know, men who are hitting on you and being inappropriate and touching you and, you know, guys sliding their hand up your leg to your crotch. And you're like, okay, dude, look, this isn't porn cab.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, this is a fucking ride. You know, you're in the car for a ride. You're not in here to, you know, we're not going to go home, you know, later on and have fun. You know, it's just like this guy, I had this 20-year-old kid. I'm like, how old are you? And he's like, I'm 20. I'm like, I'm old enough to be your mother. I'm like, really? I'm like, you're going to tell your friends I was the best to do tonight, you know? And he's like, oh, yeah, let's go someplace. I'm like, yeah, home to your mother. No. So yeah. And then after someone threw up in my car, that was kind of it for me.
So no more late night crowd after that, huh?
Nope. You know, because people, their personalities change. I mean, Matt, you know, people, when people are drinking, their personalities change. So you get a bunch of young 20 25-year-old, you know, girls in the mid-20s, in my opinion, are the worst. At nighttime, you know, if you are drinking and they're like, you know, it's like, you're not, they think they're the only ones that ever got laid in their whole entire lives. You know, they're looking at me like, oh, who could possibly want you? And it's like, give me a break, you know, give me a break. I was your age once too. And, you know, it's like, if you're, you're lucky you're going to be alive if you're, when you're my age, because the way they are going, I mean, they're just, you know, you hear all these conversations and the things they talk about. And, you know, I had a girl talking to her boyfriend in the car. I think the guy must have been so embarrassed. He was talking about his penis and, like, as if I'm not there. I'm like, this guy must be so embarrassed because I don't mind your penis. If it's small, you know, he was talking about a small penis. And I'm like, and I could see him, like, looking at me out of, like, the corner of his eyes, like, is she paying attention? No, I'm not paying attention. You're just talking in the back of my car, and I can hear every word you're saying.
Right. There's no divider I can put up or anything.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm in the car, you know, and so, you know, you get all kinds of people like that, you know, talking about drugs, their drug deals, and, you know, and then I got a couple of people, yeah, I'm serious. Then you got a couple of people like, me, I'm taking them to the drug deal. I didn't even know I'm taking them to the drug deal. And I'm like, oh my God. And then you get some guys. No, I picked up some guys that just got out of prison. And I'm like, nah, this isn't really the best environment for a female at night, you know, middle-aged female or any female. So I made the switch to daytime. And when I switch to daytime, it's like, of course, all, you know, people, but then the people get really uppity during the daytime. And, you know, like, every little thing, they're like, oh, I didn't like that you did that, so I'm going to give you a bad rating, you know.
So it's almost like a double-edged sword. You just, you know, no matter when it is, people are just going to be a pain in the ass.
They're a pain in the ass because I believe Uber and Lyft have cultivated an environment where the customer can do no wrong. Like, they don't give a shit. They don't have overhead. You know, it's not their car. It's not their gas. It's not their time. It's just like, I had a guy tell me the other day, seriously, it's like, he's trying to name drop with me. I'm like, you're in a fucking Uber X, first of all. The lowest you can get, you know. If you're somebody, you should be in an Uber Black or an Uber Lux. But don't come into an Uber X trying to pretend you're someone. You know, it's just like, okay. You know, it's just like, it's like, the guy's like, oh, I know, I was part of the Uber inner circle, and because he wanted me to take him to the bank and wait. And I was like, sorry, man, I don't wait. We're not a waiting service.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he's like, what do you mean you don't wait? He's like, you can keep the meter running. I'm like, the meter? I go, it's at 18 cents a minute. I go, there's no keeping the meter running. He goes, I had a guy wait for me yesterday during my entire lunch meeting for 45 minutes. And I'm like, I'm thinking, then you're a fucking dick. You know?
That guy's an idiot.
And the guy drove him, who was an idiot too. I'm like, if you want me to wait for you, then you need to tip me up front in cash right now. Not, oh, I'll, like, Lyft. Oh, I'll add it to the, no. There's no adding it, because we've all been scammed by that. Like, I'm going to give you a good tip, sweetheart. And the next day it's like $1. I'm like,
if it's anything, yeah.
Yeah. And the most unlikeliest people will give you like $5, $10. I mean, I've been tipped $20 several times. However, most people don't tip, and especially on Uber, they don't tip at all. They're like, oh, we know the tip's included. I'm like, no fucking tip included. Where is the tip included? It's like maybe 3 cents. I mean, I started driving for Uber here. It was 90 cents a minute here in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And then, of course, you know, I mean, a mile, not a minute. Sorry, it would be better if it was 90 cents a minute.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, you know, Los Angeles, we have the highest gas in the entire nation. So it's like our gas, the average gas here is $4.50 a gallon right now. That's average. You know, the gas has been over, it's like $5 in some places. So you cannot get gas for less than $4 a gallon here in Los Angeles.
Well, not to rub it in, but here in Southern Colorado, it's $2 less than that, so.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for letting me know that.
But we have snow and extreme weather, so, you know, that. But then we have legal pot, so there's that. So, you know,
we have legal pot here. You know, everybody here, everybody I know managed to get themselves a medical marijuana card. Here, everybody I know that smokes pot's like, oh, how did you get that? Do you have a brain tumor or something? And they're like, I got an eyelash in my eye. It hurts.
Gave this person $20 and they filled out the form. And
exactly. It's like, I think it's $50 or in Venice Beach, it's $40. And of course, you can be walking down on Venice and they'll come up to you asking you if you want to get a medical marijuana card.
Right.
Like, I live right down the street from a shop, and it's so funny. You're, you know, it's like, who's smoking pot? You know, in your mind, of course, there's still the stereotype of who smokes pot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm out walking my dog, and there's three old grandmas in front of me, and I'm just walking through their big pot cloud as their, like, you know, joint, you know what I mean? It's just like, grandma's goodies, here it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I was a medical patient in California, so I had the card, and a lot of the dispensaries that I go to in Orange County was just like, you know, you look like my sixth grade English teacher. Why are you here?
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm allowed to people smoke pot. I mean, I'm guessing within the next 10 years it'll be legal across the whole United States.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm surprised that it happened in our lifetime, but yeah, now that it's now that the barn door has been open, yeah, definitely.
Right, and not only that, the money they could make. I mean, like, of course, you in Colorado, the money the government could be making off of pot sales. I'm like, hello, when did you miss that bandwagon?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason pot was illegal was because the government was making more money keeping it illegal than they were making it legal.
Sure, and all the paper and drug companies and chemical companies and stuff, you know.
Yeah, it all comes down to money. So, I mean, it's like if it gets to be like, where's that place? Amsterdam, you just walk into the, you know, just like here, the pot store. You just walk in and, you know, get your pot from the medical marijuana store. Like, how is it in Colorado? Is it coffee shop pot now or what?
I will say that the stuff in L.A. is a lot better. The recreational stuff, depending on where you go. Well, here in Southern Colorado, it's more medical. And then, like, up in Denver and Boulder, there's a lot more recreational shops. But the medical stuff is definitely better down here, but it's still not as good as L.A.'s.
Oh, really?
I get in trouble every time I say that.
Well, I'm not a pot smoker myself, but I know lots of my friends, like most of my friends smoke pot. So I ask them about it too. And I've seen some people super, super fucked up off the pot. It's just so potent. And they have to like have warnings on it. Warning, this pot make you way too fucking high, you know?
Yep,
it's just like as serious, people are seriously getting high. Just eat like one little piece of candy, pot candy, you know, or pot cake. Like, let's eat some pot cake. Yeah. Pot brownies, you know, like a friend of mine came on my show and brought me a pot brownie. I'm like, honestly, I can't handle pot, Matt. I've just never been into pot. I smoked it when I was younger. You know, I'm no stranger to smoking pot, but it's just not my thing.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, okay, so I passed on my pot to a friend, and that friend ate the whole pot brownie and almost had to go to the hospital for a pot overdose.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm serious.
See, I'm one of those people that edibles just don't work on me. I've tried all different kinds, and it just doesn't work, and there are people like that.
This one would have worked on you, I guarantee it.
I've been told that before.
Now I got another friend who's a comedian, the same comedian that got me started with Uber. She just started a pot bakery or something like that. Now she's like, Get Baked, that's the name of her pot shop.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You know? So you can make money off of that there. You should go into the pot business there.
Exactly. It's a whole new cottage industry. Actually, somebody just opened up they call it a Bud and Breakfast.
Bud and breakfast? Oh, that's hilarious. Well, get buzzed and, you know, on your butt and then eat some bacon.
Exactly.
The three B's.
Anyway, we're running out of time here, so I just want to wrap up real quick. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Is there anything that you have coming up that you want to give a quick plug to?
Not currently. I don't have any shows scheduled right now. I'm actually taking two classes. I went back old school at Second City. And I'm taking two writing classes. One of them is a late night talk show writing class, and one of them is a pilot pitch class. So I'm actually changing my life around once again, gearing up to come out with like a new book and also pitch a couple comedy ideas that I have. So that is on the horizon for me now, and it's honestly taking up all of my time. And so nothing to pitch. Of course, you know, Fresh Babble right now is on a summer hiatus, you know, but we went for 2 years, from June 2013 till June 2015, I've had over 200 comedians on the show, and gearing up to launch a new website for that, just to put all those, like I said, make that into a podcast as well. Because mm-hmm. All the episodes, like I said, they're topical. You know, it wasn't topical. It was about topics that we like to talk about, pet peeves and things like that.
Sure.
So that is on the horizon. So we want to keep, you know, of course, friend me on Facebook or like my Facebook page, Vicki Wagner. I'm on Twitter at Vicki Wagner, VickiWagner. And of course, Brash Babble will be debuting soon with its own website. And oh, I just got on Instagram, you know, so I'm on Instagram now too, you know. So if any of your listeners want to like come tune into my comedy, I just started doing those joke memes. So those are making their way around the internet as well.
Very cool. Excellent. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. It was a great interview, a lot of good stories, and hopefully we'll have you on in the future. And if you're ever out here in Colorado and you want to check things out, as it were, look me up.
I definitely will, Matt. Thank you. thank you so much for reaching out and having me on your show. It was
cool.
Fun conversation.
All right. I'll speak to you soon, Vicki. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
Sagan is one of the culture's hottest fashion styles. Have you ever thought, when you bought and got caught by this fad, who it really benefits? Reputation and appearance play major roles in your future. Are you willing to risk and compromise that by showing your butt to the world? Don't let anything keep you from reaching your potential. Check out our website and change your life. For the better. Visit pullyourpantsupnow.com to find out how you can reclaim your name. You can bag without the sag. That's pullyourpantsupnow.com.
Love All Humans is on Blog Talk Radio. That's right. You'll be speaking live with
Tracy
and Sean, and we'll be your hosts on Love All Humans Blog Talk Radio every Monday from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m.
Pacific Standard Time. Just call us at 718-766-4494 to be on the air.
That's right. www.blogtalkradio.com/loveallhumans or go to our website, www.loveallhumans.com.
Check them out. Love All Humans right at the end of this show here on Blog Talk Radio. Just check them out. It's 5 Pacific, so that's 8 Eastern, and fill in the blanks thereafter. You're on your own. Anyway, yeah, we're back at Eye Level on the Big Papa Network. I'm Matt G, and we just heard our interview that I recorded earlier with Vicki Wagner, a fellow Uber-driving comedian. Lots of interesting stories. Actually, I do want to get her on the show again live, because I think she would kind of fit in with our particular brand of of conversation that we like to have here every week. So I look forward to
So is everybody having a good time tonight?
Fuck you! So I look forward to having her on again. So it should be cool, because there was actually some stuff that I actually trimmed out of that interview to keep it as short as it is. So, she and I have a lot in common, the whole Catholic school thing and the, yeah. Anyway, so, what's up, Doc?
Well, I figured, you know, it was comedian night, so everybody would be, all comedians would be used to having hecklers in the audience. Just make everybody feel at home.
There we go. We got a built-in heckler. So, so let's check in with Robert and see how he's doing. Let's bring him back on. Hey, Robert, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Cool. Sure. How's it going? Were you able to pick up any fares or...
No, I didn't pick up any fares. I figured it might be a little bit smarter if I'm an Uber driver to actually park the car and have a conversation with you. The last thing I want to do is have, you know, both my Uber career and my comedy career die in the same day.
That's true. That's true. I see you got a point there. And actually, we joked about that last week when I was in the car. I was like, yeah, I could just imagine, you know, just my car exploding in the middle of the conversation.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's funny again, though. Nowadays, with, you know, everything being so controversial and everything, everybody, you know, it may even make you more famous. Who knows?
You know, I want to be famous, but I think in certain ways I choose not to be famous.
True. You got a point there.
Yeah,
all right, we'll give you
that. I'm not shooting any lines these days.
I was going to say, if you're going to die, have it be with dignity. We understand. It's all good.
That's why I do stand-up comedy, right?
Exactly. You get to die on stage every night.
So I've been trying out a whole bunch
of new material tonight, too,
exactly.
That I actually workshopped last time I was there. You have to. Part of the fun of being on the show is you get heckled by sound clips of yourself.
So you'll be trying out your new material tonight, huh?
Yes.
I mean, I actually.
So yeah,
is it over
it
yet?
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of new stuff that I'm.
Okay,
stop.
Right
now, which is going over pretty well. So yeah.
So is everybody.
Okay, there we go. So yeah, sorry about that. You have to. Sometimes we do get heckled by sound clips of me, something that I said a few months ago on the show. So sorry about that. Anyway, go ahead.
You can't apologize for being a heckler, can you?
That's true.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Robert Field?
Who is Robert Field? Robert Field. I'm 46.
Oh, so are we.
I started comedy 2.5 years ago, as my marriage was almost ending in divorce. Actually, ended in divorce. Basically, what happened, the older I got, the more I didn't give a shit. And after getting married, living in Brooklyn, moving to suburbs, having two kids, and getting divorced, let's just say I don't have a filter any longer.
Gotcha.
And, you know, it's a lot of fun to bring that on stage. And that's actually what got me on stage a couple of, 2.5 years ago.
Cool.
Talking some smack, a friend of mine on a softball field, he challenged me to go on stage, and, well, this is where I'm at today.
Nice, nice. It almost seems like you've got like a whole Louis C.K. thing going on there, too.
Well, I like to consider myself the Jewish Louis C.K. he makes a couple more dollars than I do, but,
you know.
If someone wants to compare me to him, that's more than fine. I'll be more than happy to.
Sure. But I totally get where you're coming from, and actually, like I said about Vicky too, it's the same as true for you. It's like you sound like you fit in perfectly with the show. I don't know if you've caught any of our past episodes or anything, but we're pretty much the same way. I'm 46, and we're both the same age, and we just are pretty much got fed up with stuff, so we decided to start talking about it, and here we are.
I love talking about the life experiences, especially even being an Uber driver. I mean, not only do you have your own stories, but you get a whole host of other ones as well.
Sure, sure. How long have you been driving for Uber?
I've been driving about 3-4 months, Basically, when you're paying child support and you're raising two kids and you're trying to just, make it in the world, you got to do what you can. So, like,
sure.
2-3 months ago, I figured it's a great way to make, couple extra dollars while I basically paid for all my open mics that I go out there that Vicky seems not to have to do.
Sure. So you have that as a second job?
Yes, yeah, so I have a regular daytime job. I have this as a second job,
right.
When I'm not, doing comedy or doing the open mics and I don't have my kids. Pretty much right now it's like comedy time, but if I wasn't on the show, I'd be, doing the rush hour from like 5:30 to 8:30, making what I can,
able
to supplement some stuff.
Cool.
It's a great deal. It really is a great deal.
Yeah, and that's really what attracted me to it, because I'm the same as you. I have a full-time job also, and just because of my work schedule, it's hard for me to get, just any kind of second job just to, because I work from 2 to 10 in the afternoon, so... It's, I either have to work overnight somewhere or like early morning shift or something, and there's, no flexibility. So the Uber thing works perfectly because I could, do a couple hours in the morning, a couple hours at night, a couple hours on the weekend, and it really helps out.
It's amazing how it adds up. I mean, I'm the first one of a lot of my comedian friends who actually have driven Uber out here, but ever since I started, I've had like 4 or 5 people ask me about it, ask me questions. Can you at least supplement the car payment here and there? And I'm like,
sure.
It's totally pop. You just structure your life, you structure your time. You can pretty much do it all. It's really a great deal.
Exactly. And, for like the last year or so, when I was still in L.A., actually, a couple of comedians had started doing it. And then just the past year, I just kept seeing more and more and more of them doing it. And most of them have, quit their quote-unquote day jobs. And they do that, between doing that and comedy, they're able to make a pretty good living at it. So I was like, well, shit, what the hell am I waiting for? So.
Exactly. And, I don't know. I only have good things. And even, I almost could be an Uber commercial, but, even how they pay and how, efficient in their customer service is when they have an issue, everything is pretty. Someone once left their phone in my car, and, the next day I contacted them, and by that afternoon, they had their phone back. I mean, you had to meet them and exchange numbers, but it was, like, really an efficient process. I was very impressed.
Sure. They definitely have the technology nailed down. I know that there's like, and it's funny because it's like so typical of me. I always wind up getting into something when it gets controversial, because now there's like a lot of these issues with regulations and stuff. And I know some California judge just slapped them with all kinds of injunctions about how they have to provide, workmen's comp and unemployment and stuff like that and health care and all that. So I'm hoping that they can all figure all that out so that way it can, start to become or continue to be as beneficial for, for people like us as it is, and it doesn't, turn into complete shit.
I agree, because I don't even, to be honest with you, I mean, as a businessman, I understand why they have to put that in place, but personally, I'm not driving for any of those reasons.
Sure.
I have to say, I mean, I have to make this a too political conversation, but, you know, I don't know what the TLCs are doing all around the nation. To be honest with you, I just think they need the technology. I really don't understand what's happening, why they're close to the government. And, you know, regulations are certainly regulations, and safety for the passengers I completely get. You know,
sure.
And I actually are much safer than them, and I just don't understand why they fight the political battle instead of just getting the technology and competing in the technology age.
Exactly, and they have an advantage being organized because they're already, you know, full-on transportation companies, so they jumped a lot of the hurdles. All they have to do is introduce technology to it and take it to the next level, basically.
Right, I mean, I don't know about... I mean, you can only pay with your credit card to pay for the fare. I mean, you can certainly, you know, figure out some app to get that thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure right? They'll figure it out eventually. Hopefully they will.
But, you know, as long as you get to continue to drive, right?
Exactly. As long as, like, schedules can be flexible and we can still make money and it's not like, you know, making pennies on the dollar, then, yeah, it's all good.
I totally get you. I totally get you.
Sure. Do you get a lot of people,
yeah,
like, who freak out about all, like, oh, you know, like they find, like, one horror story about, like, there's that story about the one guy who got beat up by, like, a bunch of teenagers. Like, people, like, try to throw that at you all the time. Like, oh, you better be careful because it's going to happen to you.
You mean, like, my friends and those stories and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the one thing I saw, I mean, he got beat up in Mexico, so I'm really not too concerned about that. I guess every now and then, I mean, I tell people a story, too, about, you know, a passenger here and there. You know, I had one passenger, you know, asked me if I wanted to, like, hang out and, you know, get a drink, and it was, like, my last shift and stuff like that. And, like, I was like, sure. And, you know, it's kind of, like, a weird situation, but I was like, you know, whatever. Actually turned out to be a pretty wacky dude. But, you know, it's fun to have those conversations. It's sort of like, you know, I don't know. There was one night I took the ride, took 8 teenagers to, like, different parties. You know, it's like parents are saving their kids' lives by just calling Uber and having
sure.
to go back and forth. Yeah. So, yeah, I do have the people who tell me, you know, be careful or don't you freak out or this and that. But I don't know. I that's why I get my comedy. You know, it's what I embrace. It's the life and, you know, those are the stories that I love to be able to tell.
Sure. And then, you know, too, we can both debunk a lot of those myths about, you know, oh, you never know whose car you're getting into. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's the same across the board, but here in Colorado, they did a local, state, federal, a full-on background check, credit check. They found out more stuff about me than I knew. So I don't know what everybody's freaking out about. It's like, oh, you don't know who it is. And then they, you know, your picture's there, your driver's, your license plate number's there, a full description of your car. I mean, yeah, they know a lot.
Right, and the passengers know a lot, and everyone knows they do your driver's record. You know, it's like, yes, they do background checks, and I'm happy I cleared.
Sure. Yeah, I actually had trouble because I had to do a DOT physical, and because a lot of the stress I've been under, my blood pressure shot through the roof. So they're like, you know, I only actually have provisional. I have to prove that I can keep my blood pressure down for the next like 2 months, or otherwise I won't be allowed to drive anymore. So yeah, they crack down. It's not like they just let any idiot walk in off the street and say, you know, I'll drive. You know.
Oh, that would be the taxi cab commission that does that.
Yeah. So, like we say a lot on the show, be mad, but be mad at the right people.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you know, again, it's the business world. They'll figure out all that stuff out. As long as,
sure.
again, as long as they keep on driving and making the money, and you know, and providing a service. I have 2 kids, like, and they're 9 and 5. So I still have my car seat in the car, and every once in a while, you get kids coming in the car. You
sure.
know what? I'm the first one to offer up that car seat to them. I mean, why not?
Absolutely.
I have it. Let's go. I don't know why cabs have that in their car. Right. So yeah, it's a great time. It is a great time.
It is. Yeah, and as long as you know
As long as it's good for people like us, basically, then I'm cool with it. But if it starts to get, you know, if it starts to become like, you know, some minimum wage fast food job type situation, that's when I'm cutting it off. But yeah, for now, it's like, you know, it's pretty good. And as long as it stays that way, I think it should be a pretty good thing for a long time.
Right. Exactly.
We're saving lives here. Literally and figuratively.
So I still know what's calling in. You know, I have to tell you, it makes me feel wonderful. You know, as soon as you sent out the link, I sent out the post on my Facebook page and everyone else's Facebook page and linked up friends and stuff like that. And, like, and no one's hit. I might be a full-time Uber driver very soon.
It's possible. It could happen. You never know. But yeah, no, we don't always get a lot of calls on the show, so it's not an unusual thing. But I was expecting some other people to call in though, so I don't know. Hey, it's okay.
Can I get talking to you? You know, you coming out to New York? You know, certainly I have a lot of friends. Maybe I can get you on a show. Are you doing stand up these days? Am I going to start asking you the question? That'd be cool. You can start doing stand up these days.
Yeah, I've been doing some open mics out here in Colorado, and I'm starting to book some regular shows, and I'm trying to book some road gigs. I'm looking to head back to L.A. for a little bit, and I'm actually originally from New Jersey, so my father's turning 80 this year, so I'm trying to see if I can get back there for his 80th. So we shall see.
You should come back. Where in Jersey are you going to come out here? Well, I mean, that'd be pretty cool. We'll bring you into New York. We'll get you on some shows.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, well, originally from, you know, Bergen County, like Hackensack area, so.
Oh, that's really close.
Mm-hmm.
It's really close, you know?
So.
Very nice.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, pretty cool.
Yeah, we're both from there. We're a couple of old school born and bred Jersey boys, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, Elizabeth, if I had my choice, I mean, certainly Colorado's, you know, a great place to be, but, you know, I guess L.A. is close. But I had to think between New York and L.A., you know, I'm going to be picking New York every time, right?
Yeah, it's true, but I kind of miss L.A.
No? Really?
Yeah. I didn't think I would. Well, I figure now it's a two-day drive to go to either place. So I guess this, you know, here in Colorado is like splitting the difference. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nah, I hear you. I'm a New Yorker, born and bred. So.
And believe me, there's a lot I miss, and every time I come back, I always think to myself, "Oh my God, if only." But you know, it just didn't work out. So you know, yeah, we'll see.
Hey, listen, I like a lot of cities out there. I love going to San Francisco. Certainly,
I've been there a couple times.
Yeah, Bay Area is nice.
Yeah, Bay Area. I was just there for about a week, you know, a week ago. That certainly is not anything like New York. They were smoking dope on the street. They weren't doing head turns. They weren't looking for cops. I really felt like I was in another planet. Homeless people were walking into the restaurants, using the bathroom and going for a drink of water, and no one was even blinking. I was like, you know. Not many places will make me open up my eyes and do a double take, but apparently that happened in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, and Oakland and Berkeley are like that, too, even, yeah. Although not so much Berkeley anymore. But.
Right.
But, yeah, and it's funny because, you know, when the first time I went up to San Francisco, I had lived in L.A. for like 4 or 5 years at that point, and I just remember thinking to myself that it didn't feel like I was still in California anymore. It just felt like a totally different part of the world.
Oh my God, it is such a different part of the world. Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's cool though. I definitely would go try to get back there as much as I can though. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Wow. You know, maybe time. I would enjoy LA. It is. But, so definitely
LA is its own animal. Oh yeah, no, definitely.
Sure. LA is its own animal all in its eye, you know. I don't know. Maybe if someone took me around L.A. and showed me L.A., I would warm up to it a little bit.
Maybe. L.A. is weird. I mean, the bottom line is you got a bunch of people that aren't from there. They're all like Midwestern transplants that went there to become famous doing whatever, you know, acting or music or whatever the hell, working in TV production. Somehow it's just got this, I don't know, sometimes fun but bizarre vibe of like, flakiness, you know. Zappa even did a song about it. You know, it's like, I don't know what it is. It's like it never really lost that sort of hippie, you know, pie in the sky, head in the clouds kind of vibe. Not necessarily like, you know, more of a Frisco kind of a thing where they're more, oh, yeah, we're the lefty community with Earth shoes and all that kind of shit. But still that kind of, are you really here on Earth or are you floating up in the sky somewhere? So
well,
it's
LA
very,
is a very it's a very selfish vibe in LA, whereas in San Francisco it's more communal.
Right, exactly. But you know, out here in New York's completely different. It's nothing to do with any of that.
Nothing. I think it's really funny. Like people tell me about the difference between San Francisco and LA. They say that you know San Francisco gives a shit about LA, and LA doesn't know San Francisco exists.
That's pretty accurate. Yeah.
LA's just getting Botox injections.
Most of the people I know in LA don't want to drive 20 minutes across town, let alone 5 hours up to San Francisco.
Yeah, but it takes 5 hours to go 20 minutes, doesn't it?
Sometimes, yeah, that's true. That I don't miss. I mean, I got to admit, it's like I hear people here complain about traffic, and I'm like, you have no idea.
Look, the difference is right here. Nobody in New York wants to drive. Nobody in LA wants to walk.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go.
Right. Exactly.
That's true. And I think that's why like Uber is doing so well in LA, just because it's like, you know, everybody can just has their own personal car service now.
Right. Like, I mean, New York, you'll walk 20 blocks, you don't care.
Oh, yeah.
In LA, you take something, you'll pay $5. It's only $5. Yeah, that minimum fare to go, like, block,
yeah,
sure, whatever.
Exactly. It's like, take me to the Starbucks 3 blocks away.
Well, wasn't there a story? Now, I mean, a lot of stream of consciousness going on in my brain, but I think I remember, like, out in L.A., like, was it Jennifer Lopez that took her from a hotel 3 blocks? Like, there's 10 car caravan just to go
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it.
Exactly. Yeah, it was something down at, like, I think it was, like, LA Live or something. There was a big, she was releasing her CD or some shit like that. And, yeah, they had the big 10-car caravan. Yeah, it was.
Talk about
right.
Somebody with zero talent that somehow magically got famous. It's like, you know, back in the 70s, we had all these game shows, like, you know, the Match Game or whatever the hell, and you're sitting there wondering, who the hell are these people and why are they famous? But you'd always go back and you find they were on some sitcom or whatever, like 10 years before, and they were just kind of floundering
right.
around somehow. Somebody like, you know, Jennifer Lopez or, God help you, when you start getting to, like, Kim Kardashian and stuff, you're like, who are these people and why are they famous? Yeah, they got a big Botox ass? I mean, that's why they're famous?
Yeah.
There's no talent involved. There's no brains. Like, what are you?
They were
why are you
members,
famous?
They're members of the Lucky Sperm Club.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna give J-Lo this. She is slightly better talented than Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
Well, that's not hard, but
yeah. It's like saying a Rolls Royce is a slightly better car than a Yugo.
Yeah. Carrot Top is more talented.
She's got a talented ass, though. It convinces guys to stare at it and forget about everything else.
Yes, I do. You know, if she wanted to come over, hang out, I would be bored. And I would even tell her that she was very talented.
Sure.
And twerking? What?
Just twerk that thing up and down on me for a little while. I'll tell you exactly how talented you are, sweetheart.
Yes.
It reminds you of like a month ago.
I have to tell you, all my
females
are going to have my head on a platter right now. Thank God they're not calling in.
Well, this is a guy show. That's true. It is kind of so. But this is pretty much every week with us, though. So if you want to keep calling in, it's all good.
You just tell me the topic. I could probably talk about it. I mean, I have more than enough out there. You want to mention another topic? I could do my routine right here for you right now. You just tell me a topic. I can tell you a story.
That's more or less like we try to come up, or I try to come up with a topic every week, and we'll talk about it for like 5 minutes, and then we'll just go off and just whatever the hell else is bothering us, or we'll read something from Facebook, or we'll read from the agony columns or whatever, and then yeah, we just kind of wing it. So,
right?
Yeah.
See now I need that beer. Or actually, I need alcohol. Beer doesn't really get me drunk. I certainly need some alcohol. but then I wouldn't be able to drive Uber.
That's true. That is
true. Well, you can always grab that synthetic pot. Apparently, it's big in New York City right now.
May as well try bath salts.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll work when we're done.
Is that like is bath salts an L.A. thing? Am I missing something?
Actually, I think it's more of a Florida thing, but it's kind of made its way to L.A. too. But yeah, it's people sniffing bath salts or smoking bath salts or some shit like that.
Well, they seem to have an exchange program, L.A. and Florida. They'll just go back and forth.
And Germany too. They kind of all the freakiness circulates between those three areas.
No, I figured it was like the golden triangle of the U.S. You know, they come off from Florida and they go to L.A.
Oh, God. And I did go to high school in Florida, hence the reason why I now live in New York.
So you understand. See, notice he's not refuting anything we're saying here, people.
Listen, you know, I want to say that Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio had it easy because they have a good state to be able to, you know, it's an easy state to be able to govern, you know, it's just, you know, seriously. It's probably one of those easy, maybe Arkansas, but it's probably one of those most easiest states to have to govern is Florida.
Because of the simplicity of the citizenry?
Because of the simplicity of the citizenry. You know, Matt, I knew you were smart. You're not smoking all the Colorado dope. I figured you'd be able to double that.
Not all of it, just my fair share.
I was trying to be nice. I'm like, I'm not sure if he's saying that. That's what I'm thinking. But
well, that's why I tried to be diplomatic.
Hey, look, and W was the governor of Texas. I mean, you know.
Says it all. My Texas family just disowned me. Well, no, yeah. I know what it's like. It's because here, you know, I mean, yes, this is Colorado, and yeah, weed's legal, but this is Southern Colorado, and this isn't Denver or Boulder. It's very like buttoned up and conservative down here. So, I do have to kind of tread lightly when I go places, and have to be very audience aware when I'm doing my material.
I can appreciate that. I can certainly appreciate that. Next time I do the synagogue, I'll make sure to be audience aware.
Have you ever had, like, where there's a passenger or someone where you just, you know, you think they're kind of going one way with a direction, with a conversation, and then you take it and then just, like, go completely off in some opposite radical direction? You're like, oh, shit.
To be honest with you, the one guy that, you know, actually, so this one passenger, when I picked him up, he got into my car, and he got into, you know, it's weird, because the one thing that you don't expect, I don't know if this happens to you, but sometimes you get into the front seat of the car, and not the back seat. Like, I always instinctually think they're going to get into the back seat of the car.
Right.
And this one guy got into the front seat of the car, and it was like 2:30 in the morning, and he was... And he had a little buzz, he was, you know, normal size, and he sits in the front seat, and he goes, "Hope you don't mind him sitting in the front seat." And I looked at him, and I said, "I don't care if you sit in the front seat, but you better fasten your seatbelt." And he's like, "No." And I'm like, "Well, then I'm not fucking going anywhere." And then he buckled his seatbelt. And by the time we talked on that 10-minute ride on the way home, he's the guy who was just like, "So, this is actually what happened." He's like, "So, dude, do you want to get stoned?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, it's 2:30, it's the end of the shift, whatever." And he brought down a vaporizer, which is big out here, and he was just like, "Well, you know, so what's the charge?" And I'm like, "Well, okay." And he's like, "Well, do you want to come upstairs and I'll just charge it up?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, I had to pee. You know, I'm 46, my bladder doesn't work the same way as it always did." And I was just like, "I got to pee." So I went upstairs to his apartment, went to pee. And you said, like, when the friends normally, you know, say these stories, and at this point in time, whenever I tell my friends a story, they all look at me like, "Are you crazy?" Like, at that point in time, they're like, "Are you out of your head?" And I was just like, I didn't care. I really had to go to the bathroom, and I thought my bladder was the most important thing. So I went up there. He mentioned that his girlfriend was sleeping in the back room. I'm like, fine. I go up there and pee, and I walk out. that's not charged up is when he had the bottle of vodka up there, and he's like, hey, you know, do you want a shot? And I'm like, no, I don't want a shot. You know, 46, I don't do peer pressure. And as we're waiting for this, the vaporizer to charge up, mind you, never was charged up, he's like, well, do you want anything? And I'm like, you know, I don't know, do you have Coke or anything like that? And his eyes got really big, and I'm like, no, Coca-Cola, water. Like, you know, I don't do that either. And he's like, oh. And then he actually reached into his pocket, and he did a little hit of Coke. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, okay, now I got to get out of here. And I'm like, is that thing charged up? The vaporizer charged up. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I was leaving, and he looks at me, and he goes, so do you want to hang out sometime? And at that point in time, I'm like, well, I told him I was a comic, and I promoted my website. A Man Without a Filter is a name that I try to go by, and I promoted it as a website. And I'm like, well, why don't you just go to my website, send me an email, you know? And he's like, oh, he goes, because I want to let you know I'm not weird or anything like that. I just don't have a lot of friends. And I'm like, okay,
I wonder
fine,
why.
I gotta go. Right, well, you know, he had all the supplies, but he's just a little weird. And I'm like, okay, fine, gotta go. Shut the door, left, and they got out of there. So that had to be one of the weirder stories on the turns that story could have taken.
When you started telling the story, you said you went upstairs. I'm like, yeah, you weren't born in New York, were you? Like, no.
Nah. Well, the thing is like, I think it's just common. Well, actually, I mean, I was born in New Jersey, which, you know, may have created do that, but that's where the stories come from. If I said no, I mean, okay, fine. I always say that unless I'm going to die, I'll pretty much say yes to it. And I guess in that situation, many may think they would have to die, but my perspective wasn't that way. I really had to pee. but yeah, that had to be by far the best story of things going for the turn. Most of them were pretty nice. I had a woman in my car yesterday. I was driving her to New York because her daughter just gave birth to her first grandchild. So I had this 45-50 minute ride with this, you know, woman who's from, you know, Indiana, who just called Uber and going for a ride into the city. And it was a really, you know, really cool conversation, especially someone who's a parent with kids. So I've had strange stories, but I've had really nice stories as well. You know, I mean, I think that's the cool thing.
Sure. And I think it's you know, it's kind of important for people to know, you know, to see the nicer, more serious, more buttoned down side. I mean, yeah, you know, all the outrageous stories are funny and stuff, and it's great to laugh at. It's like taxicab confessions. But, you know, it's also, like I said, it's good to hear the good stories, so that people, like, you know, maybe chill out a little bit about this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had in my car, I mean, a daughter, someone called me because they didn't have enough to fit in their car and wanted to go to the restaurant, and grandma was going in my car. And it's when I had a car seat, and I saw this girl, and she was about, you know, 5-6 years old. And I said, are they going to ride? She's like, no. I was like, well, I have a car seat if they want to. And the little girl was excited, and grandma was excited. And it was like a 5-10 minute ride, but it didn't matter. It was sort of like grandma and the granddaughter taking a ride in the Uber car together. And it feels really cool. It's a really, you know, it's a nice thing.
Sure. So if you could make the numbers work, would you do this full time?
Would I do this full time? You know, as I become, you know, a paid professional comic like the Jewish
mm-hmm.
Louis C.K.
Yes.
I would. I mean, you know, there's health insurance. It's a great thing to do. I love it part time. If I had to do it full time and I had nothing else, I would.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a pretty nice career, and I think that the nicest thing about the career is certainly not the income, because if I was making enough, I wouldn't be driving for Uber. But they got excellent health benefits. You know, their health benefits are outstanding. And again, I got kids, and, you know, maybe this is what, you know, middle class America has certainly become. But you know, I like keeping my job because it has great benefits.
Sure, and that's kind of the sword of Damocles we're all living under, is that it's like, you know, I'd love to just, you know, jettison the pot, as it were, but I need the insurance, I need the coverage. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So would I do it full time? Yeah, other, you know, compared to delivery services or being a waiter or waitress or bartender or, you know, anything of those service-oriented jobs that was a fixed job, I certainly would choose Uber over those, probably because I can't make a drink. You know, I'll trip over myself serving food. But, you know, yeah, it's my preferred preference of those types of service jobs, certainly.
Sure, absolutely, and I think that's why a lot of performers in general are gravitating towards it, is because, you know, it, not only is it the flexibility, but you don't have to. I mean, everybody drives pretty much, so as long as you're good at it and you're not a, you know, a scumbag or a criminal, then yeah, you should, it's something that's fairly easy to do, and just about anybody can do it.
Right.
And it pays better, I'm sure, too, because, I mean, I'm definitely making more than minimum wage doing this, for sure. I'm actually making a little bit more than I make at my day job an hour. So.
Right. And, you know, certainly, you know, look, there are taxes. There's wear and tear in your car. There are other things that, you know, you have to, you know, buy. But, yeah, you're making it more than, you know, a day job. And you can really plan your schedule. You know, I mean, look, it's the summertime, Jersey Shore. You go down to Jersey Shore, you can be making $35, $40 an hour, and all you're doing is working, you know, 6:30 to 9:30, and, you know, maybe 1:30 to 4:30 or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, whenever the bar is closed.
Yeah, and taking people to and from the clubs, exactly.
And that's another thing that Uber's doing. It's like you're making less people drive. I would like to see if they help drunk driving go down, you know, especially in the suburbs where cabs are not easily accessible.
Absolutely.
The number of partiers. I enjoy the 1 to 4. I think the 1 to 4 is a lot of fun.
Sure.
You know?
Have you ever had to deal with anybody puking in your car or anything? Or
I've never had to deal with anybody puking in my car. I was you originally talked to me on the show. I was concerned about the other night. I was looking for this house. It was about 1:30 in the morning. I drove up to this house, and there were two guys in the yard, and one guy was falling down, rolling on the ground, and couldn't stand up. And I drove past the house, and I looked, and I said, holy shit, am I going to have my first, like, obliterated passenger in my car? And I turned around, and I see both of them go into the house. Right? They go into the house. I have no idea what's going on. And the drunk guy gets dropped on the floor. The door shuts. The other guy comes and opens up the door in my car. I swear to God, I think he's going to be like, sorry, you know, he's not going to go anywhere. And the dude sits in my car, shuts the door. I'm like, okay, are we ready to go? And I was so fucking happy. I was like, are you kidding me? This is great. I mean, it's like a pumped or something like that. Like, really? Like, I really thought that dude was getting thrown in my car. And
And
the normal dude, I was like, thank you. I like the car that I drive in. He actually complimented me on the car. It was a very nice car when he dropped me off. There's sometimes I wonder, have you ever wondered, like, you know, I mean, certainly, like, are you being hit on by the passengers and stuff like that? Like, sometimes I wonder that.
That's something I never worry about. You haven't seen my pictures, have you?
I'll have to take a look after this segment. You know, it would be cool to get a date out of it, just someone I would want to date. But then he was just like, yeah, that was a really cool car. And I'm like, okay. And then it gets out. I do drive a nice car. I mean, it's 2015 Accord, so I guess people like, you know, riding in it. But, I mean, I think that was the first time someone actually complimented me.
Cool.
You know, for it. Now, but nice. Our girl decided to tell me that was a really nice car. Well, that might be a different story. But that I haven't come close to that one either. Yeah.
Sure. I do though. It is something that like kind of lingers in the back of my head because way long time ago, my brother and I owned a video store in Jersey, and we bought it from a gay couple who had a very, you know, pretty wide selection of gay porn, and we were like the only ones in the area that did, so we had a huge gay clientele, and I just got hit on constantly by, I swear to God, I'm like fucking catnip for gay men, and I'm just like, that's like the one thing I'm just waiting to see. It won't bother me, but it's just like, it hasn't happened yet, and I'm kind of relieved, but yeah. At the same time, I'm like, what, they don't like me anymore? What? Am I too old?
Right. All right. Well, you got outdated porn. The internet started, but they didn't need your porn collection any longer.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, because I know that no woman, unless she's like probably rip-roaring drunk, will ever hit on me, so I don't ever have to worry about that.
Well, you know, you drive at 4 o'clock in the morning, you might get that girl that's rip-roaring drunk.
Yeah, but do I want her?
No, probably not.
Exactly. I used to be a bouncer in nightclubs. And, yeah. No, it's like I used to be a bouncer in nightclubs, and it's just, you know, you didn't want, you know, the 4 a.m. chick was a sure thing, but did you really want it? No.
And in today's age, that's an accident waiting to happen, too, you know. All you have to do is, you know, fight on one of those, and then, you know, then you're like, and then you have a problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You picked her up, right? Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Or she's rolling video on you or something and starts doing some crazy shit or whatever. Yeah, it's just.
Right.
Not cool.
You're on the porn website then after that.
Yep. So I guess that's one good thing. I'm still married, so I guess I do have that going for me. So if I do ever get hit on by, you know, by any kind of troglodytes, I'll just be like, sorry, married, can't do it. You know, so.
Right.
So I got that going for me, which is good.
Very cool. Exactly.
Yep.
You know? It's good. How long have you been married?
Let's see. What's this? 15? 11 years.
Oh, 11 years. Oh, you made it over the hump.
Yeah, I guess.
You can hope.
Yeah. It's all good. She puts up with me. She lets me see her naked. So, you know, no one else will. So why not, you know?
She'll look at you naked.
Exactly. Well, sometimes, yeah. Just for brief fleeting moments.
Are you trying to say she goes to you, honey, you know, can you please turn out the lights? Is that you? Her to you? Is that what's happening?
No, not quite. She's usually, and runs. So. Anyway. So do you have any upcoming shows that you want to promote? I posted your website to our At Eye Level page, but if you want to give that a plug again, too. Anything you want to plug or promote or anything.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. So, you know, I certainly want to, you know, I do a lot of shows. I mean, I have a great comedy community out here. You know, I've met a lot of friends. We do this. It's part of it's called Laughing Buddha Comedy. We do a lot of open mics. It's a great comedy community. And then we branch off and we do our own bar shows, which is fantastic. So I am doing a couple of shows up and coming. One is in Astoria at this place called QED with, you know, it's, you know, Last Stop Laughs, which is awesome. I have a friend, Jennifer Salzman, who puts on shows in Brooklyn, and I'll be doing that on August 29th. So I have a show August 15th in Astoria at QED. I have a show August 22nd. In Brooklyn and in Park Slope, this place called Dizzy, so you can have alcoholic milkshakes, which is all pretty awesome. Uh-huh. You know, coming in September, I'll be doing a show with a friend of mine, Patrick Colbert. Again, all these, it's a great comedy community. And, you know, and they also, I'm trying to begin, not only do my website, Man Without a Filter, but I don't know if you feel this, but at our age, and really doing comedy, I'd like to give back a little bit, you know. It's sort of like, you know, I'm older with kids, I become more, altruistic in my activities. Like, if they're not going to pay me, maybe I could do something good with it anyway. And so I try to produce shows for charities. So, you know, I have a website that I'm starting, Ha Ha for Humanity. And the greatest thing about doing that is not only do you do an event and people want to come and contribute, and it's a reason to contribute, but the comedic community that I am a part of embraces that so much. And, it's a really, you know, it's like finding a new 100 friends. So,
cool.
Yeah, so I'll be doing a lot of shows and doing a lot of mics. Certainly look me up. Man Without a Filter is my site. I have a nickname, Shoeless Jew, so you can find me there. That'd be a whole nother story. And, You know, I'd love to see you around. Let's see all these shows. It would be pretty awesome. And Matt, if you come out to New Jersey, and Doc, if you do too, you know, I'll definitely get you on one of these shows. We'd love to have, you know, some guest appearances out here.
Sounds good.
Well, Doc's already there, so.
Oh, Doc, you're already here?
I'm in New York. I'm not a stand-up guy, so.
Oh, who cares? You got to come to one of the shows. I'd love to meet you. Are you on Facebook? I'll look you up.
Yeah, send the info.
I'll send you all the info. It'll be fantastic. Absolutely.
Sure.
So I didn't realize that. I thought you both were in Colorado.
No.
Very nice. Yeah, we'll definitely hook up. That'd be awesome.
Sounds good.
But, yeah, that's what I'll be plugging with you guys tonight.
Cool.
I could plug more. I could plug the synagogue down the street if you'd want, where my kids go to. They might like that too, you know.
How about the grocery store? And the you know, can you recommend a good dentist or a lawyer or somebody? Or
Oh my God, I love my deli.
I'm looking for a pastrami sandwich, maybe a bagel with some lox. You know, good one. Give me.
Second Avenue, a Captain Delicatessen. If you really want one.
The Arthur Avenue pizza, yes or no?
That's right. Vote now.
So how do you like the Honda Accord?
I have to tell you, it's a fantastic car. It's much sportier. You know, when I was going out looking for a new car and someone said, why don't you get an Accord, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, there was this whole joke, you know, well, you know, my ex-wife actually made this joke, all Camry, you know, are going to hate me. But she always tells me that those who drive a Camry are actually those who really want to drive like a BMW or a Mercedes, like a wannabe. And I really felt that about the Honda Accord, was like sort of like in that thinking class. And I have to tell you, 2015 is much sportier. I really do enjoy it. You know, well, and again, this is all plugging the Honda commercial that I'm going to be getting right after I get the Food Town and the Pep Boys commercial, right?
I know, exactly. Honda better be sending us a check for this, man.
You can't be the fourth one in the business statuary, you know, Manny Moe, Jack, and Robert.
An O2 Accord, yeah.
See, we couldn't drive that out here.
No?
Is that your Uber car? Yeah, our cars have to be 2005 or later.
Oh, wow. For us it's 2000.
Wow. I guess you drive less miles when you're out in Colorado. I don't know. Yeah, it's 2005 there. It's an upscale community here. You know?
But
Yeah,
that's probably what it is too. They're not very you know, fancy schmancy out here. So.
Right. Well, that's a good thing to know, which means my car will be around in like 2027.
So yeah, so you know, when you can't drive in New York anymore, then you just come out to Colorado and drive here. So there you go.
Well, that'd be great. You know, I'll come out there in like 10 years after my kids go to college.
You could retire out here.
That would be an excellent thing. But, you know, if your prediction is true on the last segment and everything's legal everywhere, I wouldn't have to move out there.
That's true.
You know.
That is true. But, you know, scenery and stuff. So.
Oh, very cool. No, this has been a lot of fun.
Good.
You know. It's certainly been a lot of fun. How long can you talk for? I could talk forever. I'll get you that way. I could talk for a really long time.
We actually have 20 more minutes, so we can keep going. Yeah, it's all good.
This is perfect. It's sort of like, do I get a tape of this when I come down? If I get a tape of it, I can just splice out all the parts and have, like, you know, be like an HBO special. You take, like,
about
3 hours and you get a half hour.
About 5 minutes after
version.
It's over, yeah, you
think of this as like the audio version of the Joe Franklin show. You know, you're in between the Spoon Players, Hildegard, and the Ramones. So.
Right. And here's going to be an upcoming segment, but I'm going to be like Vicky, and Vicky was like, you know, well, maybe we should do this. I know you edited, but we can like replay the things you hit the cutting room floor with your conversation with Vicky. Can you imagine that?
I'm going to post those on YouTube later.
The outtakes.
Mm-hmm. It's not a lot. We just expanded. You know, we just talked longer about certain things, and that's all. As I just kind of trimmed them down. That's all. It's like there's 2 minutes and 48 extra seconds of deleted
like the
footage.
It's the opportunity we don't have right now. Who's ever listening just has to be able to catch something good.
Yep. And that's pretty much every week, right, Doc?
That's it. We're usually a little more fast-paced, though. You know, we don't have guests that often, so I'm just kind of taking the background listening to you guys.
What, you don't have any heckles?
We have plenty.
Why don't you
of
bust
heckles?
Out some agony columns? Let's get Robert's take on some agony columns.
Oh, I'll comment on anything.
Agony columns, yeah, people like who write into the things and complain and stuff.
Well, actually, I was thinking about with him talking about his experiences with druggies in the car. The synthetic pot use is on the rise in New York City. There's an article about this the other day. Apparently, it's a 0 to 60 high, says the 47-year-old homeless guy who gave his name as JC because of his frequent run-ins with the law. I've done plenty of drugs in my life, and it only compares to dust, he says, referring to PCP, but it doesn't last as long. It's seen an alarming increase in consumption, mainly by homeless men, of the leafy substance known as, quote, K2, the cheap knockoff weed, spiked with unknown chemicals that's supposed to mimic the more mellow effects of pot, but comes with the harsh side effects. When people talk about synthetic marijuana, it's kind of a bad misnomer because we don't know what the chemicals are, said a cop. What's known in recent months, there's been a spike in emergency rooms visits in New York City by users suffering from high blood pressure, hallucinations, hot flashes, and psychotic meltdowns that turn violent or deadly. It's 160 people in hospitals in a little over a week. Let's see, an internal NYPD memo issued last month warned the officers that people will strip off their clothes, become impervious to pain, and go berserk if confronted, and advised to call for backup and use a taser if necessary to get them off the street.
Yeah, party!
Apparently the Attorney General wrote to gasoline companies to demand they outlaw sales of synthetic drugs, which come in the form of herbal incense and potpourri at gas stations and convenience stores. So if you want to go do the New York equivalent of bath salts, you can go grab some Green Giant, Smacked, AK-47, and, of course, K2, which go for about $5.
Oh,
so there you go.
God.
Here's your next passenger at 3 a.m.
You know, it would not shock me. Even though I live in New Jersey, it's still New York. There are so many people in New Jersey who want to still feel like they're in New York.
Well, you know, Jersey, right over the bridge, they got the whole thing with, what is that, Patterson or something, where they got all the heroin going around. So it's like Seattle all over again in the 90s.
I don't go to Patterson. And anyone from New Jersey will be laughing at that comment right now. Like, I just won't go to Patterson.
We understand.
Totally understand that one.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who went into some dude's apartment just so he had a pee. And I won't go to
that. And try to score some vape off him.
That's right. So that should fill in the rest of the listening audience as to what's wrong with Patterson.
There's actually, I don't remember the place of it, but you know, when I was married, I went out to this nice Italian restaurant in Patterson. I don't remember the name. And you know, I got to tell you, the worst part about Uber is GPS. And maybe the best part about Uber is people telling you how to get certain places, but like GPS takes you most fucked up routes. That's right, complain about the right things. And so this really nice, expensive restaurant in Patterson, the only restaurant in Patterson, is in the middle of a community where all the homes have like wood on the windows. Like, GPS has basically taken you through the worst. Like, you take the wrong part. GPS took me to the worst part of Patterson to go home from this restaurant. And I'm sitting there. Like, I could have gone the other way, but no, they have shortcuts for me and, like, railroad tracks that weren't completed. And it seriously was, like, the worst part you could ever go to. And,
you should be used to it from your Florida days because, you know, like Miami with all the bars on the – it's like everybody's in prison. They all got bars in their windows. Like, what the hell? What are we driving through here?
That is the weird thing about GPS, and I wonder, like, if there's some, like, evil motherfucker somewhere that, like, designed GPS to just, like, I'm going to send people through the worst possible neighborhoods when they go here.
Uber tip of the day, like, you know, GPS wears down the battery in your phone, and even if you're charged up, like, it really sucks in a lot of battery, I mean, depending on the type of phone you have. Uber tip of the day, as soon as the passenger gets in, you look at them and say, do you want to direct me where I'm going, or would you like me to use GPS? 9 out of 10 times, they say, oh, I'll just tell you where we're going. Don't worry about the GPS. Uber tip of the day. If you just want to talk to them and have them tell you where you need to go so you don't have to think and just drive, I recommend that line.
Right. Or if you just want to take them on a really long circuitous route to make the extra money, well, then, you know, the choice is yours. I don't know. It's hard. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but then I think like a taxi cab driver. You know, I want to differentiate myself from them.
No, I know. I'll never forget this. When I worked in the city, I used to take taxis pretty much every day, and it was like almost the same route. And it would always be like, you know, anywhere between like, say like $4 and $5. I swear to God, I got in this one taxi. The guy, like, would drive really slow, and, like, when he was coming up to a light, and he would just kind of coast and roll so that he would get both, like, the extra mileage and the wait time and stuff. Like, a $4 fare wound up costing me, like, $8 by the time it was done. I was like, what the hell is this? Oh, well, you know, you had to wait at the lights and stuff. I was like, are you fucking kidding me with this? It's ridiculous. So, yeah, I definitely try to not be that that kind of a dick.
Right. I want to be the nice Uber driver. I might even get that tip that you're not. You may even get that tip, like Uber doesn't tip, right? It's not like the non-tipping specialist app. But every once in a while, there are nice people who want to give me that tip, right? So, if you obviously say, you know, we don't take it. They say, oh, next time, and you know, whoever takes back a tip, like, no one ever does. So,
right.
It's sort of, you know, you want to be that nice Uber driver because maybe, just maybe, they'll give you a couple extra bucks.
Yep, and it is nice when they kind of give you a tip because it's like you're like, oh no, you don't have, oh no, please, and then, yeah, they never take them back, and that's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool, but that actually shows how cool people are. Like, you know, you hear about all this dissension and you hear about everything that's going on. You know, I've had all different people, nationalities, sobrieties. Everything in my car, and I mean, it's really interesting, you know. You, especially if they're talking to you, you know. Like sometimes they just bury their head into their cell phone, and you know, you just don't talk to them the whole time. But you know, they're having conversations with you. You learn about their lives and where they're from, and you know, and then you go to different areas that you've never really necessarily been to because you don't really know where you're ending up. You only know where you're picking up.
Right.
Yeah. You know? It could be pretty cool. It is, you know. Again, as a comedian, you always hope for that story, though. I had these 4 drunk kids get in my car, and this girl jumps in the car, and she goes, "Are you ready for the best Uber ride ever?" And I looked at her, and I go, "No. Are you ready for the best Uber ride ever?"
That's wild. Yeah, it is. I always was a bit of a people watcher, and that's actually one of the things I enjoyed most about when I was a bouncer. And I actually even like, too, like when they just kind of forget you're there and have conversations. Like, there was this, I had picked up a brother and sister one time, and it was just like the weirdest conversation they were having. It was actually very sweet and everything, and like the brother was like worried about something, and the sister was just like really being really cool. And, you know, just it humanizes people more in a way. It's like, you know, yeah, you know, like you said, you want the funny story, and yeah, there's lots of dicks and stuff, but I don't know, the good stories and just the, you know, just seeing the good in people every now and again just kind of makes it all worth it, I guess. I don't know. Call me sappy and sentimental.
It makes you realize that maybe just what you see in the news, and especially with our political system and everything that we have with the election coming up, you're going to hear a lot of things about a lot of different people. And you know what? Actually being in touch with those people make you realize that all those stories really are not necessarily true. Like, they are, but some are sensationalized. And, you know, you really, deep down inside, there are a lot of really good people out there.
Sure. And that's kind of what we do here on the show is, you know, we try to, you know, show people in general that we're not really all that different. You know, there may be, you know, one or two or even five or ten different things that, that are different about us. But I think 99% of us want 99% of the same thing. So we're not so different, you and I.
We just laugh about it all the time.
Exactly. That's true. And that's, it's like what we say in the promo of our show. It's like you have to laugh at stuff. I mean, just look at the headlines. You'll give yourself a stroke if you don't.
Absolutely. I'd like to think that's what keeps me sane.
True. Yeah. This show and doing stand up are like my therapy. So.
Yes. Therapy. That's exactly right. You get to go out there and you get to spill your guts out to an audience.
Yep.
And you just hope they you hope they laugh. You really hope they laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I have to say, you know, one thing Vicky's missing, you know, by not doing the open mics, when you go to like real audience, actually, I found laugh more than comics. Like, you know, comics sit there and they may analyze your joke and they may be half-heartedly listening to you as you're on shit that they want to go through. But,
right.
Like, real audience laugh. So the more open mics you go through, the more you realize, you're just bombing at an open mic and you just don't even really care.
Sure. Or on the other side is if you kill it at an open mic, you know, and it's like, wow, I made a whole room full of comedians laugh their asses off. So, you know, that's
the hardest thing to do.
I've yet to do it.
Oh, it will happen. You have to go to a mic in Denver. I mean, you're sitting down with a conservative, comic.
True. And actually, when I still lived in Orange County, I had my group therapy open mic there every 2 weeks, and that we had a lot of fun there, and I did make comedians laugh at that show, so it was good. Yeah, I just needed more of it out here. That's all.
Were you the host?
Uh huh.
The host of the open mic?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, so they had to laugh at you.
Well, I guess so. Yeah.
That's kind
if
of
they
what
wanted
my wife
their stage
did.
Time, right?
Did you see what before I did stand-up comedy and I would do all this shit to my friends, they would be like, dude, really? I'm lucky I have friends.
You would have fit in perfectly in our circle, I'm sure.
We
were the outcasts in high school, right, Doc? That's how we all found each other.
Outcast, I don't know if that's really the thing, but yeah, definitely worship the beat of our own drums. That's for damn sure.
The nonconformists, how about
exactly,
that?
Exactly, right, yeah. Nobody.
The outlaws, there you go.
Yeah, everybody was in their little cliques, and we were just kind of the outliers.
We were the anti-clique.
Yep. Well, that actually was an active thing on my part, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I certainly wasn't in it. I mean... Is being king of the geeks being an anti-click or a part of a click?
Nowadays, that's a status symbol. That's like the most popular kid in school.
Yeah, but this was before technology. This is before being a geek was cool.
Exactly. Yeah, we were there. We remember. We had Commodore 64s in our high school.
I'd say most of the people that, the various outliers that I tried to bring together, all you guys, we were all kind of, what are you going to call it? I mean, the equivalent of today's geeks, I guess. I mean, I don't think there's too many of us walking around with horn rim glasses and pocket protectors like Spaz and Meatballs, but, but nonetheless, it was like a strange crowd. So
we were like, like the kids nowadays, how they all like wear pajama pants and fireman's hats and biking helmets and stuff, and so that was just us,
Well, remember I was going through that cowboy phase at the time. Remember that stuff?
Right, the boots and the belt and stuff.
Yep, exactly.
Do you really want to talk about that phase?
It was long enough ago that.
That's it. It was so many freaking years ago. I was like, all right, whatever.
So many years ago, it's now drifting into long-term memories, so you actually remember it.
We can. Enough time has gone by. Enough water's gone under the bridge. We can look back fondly and laugh. And lots of hours of therapy and great drugs.
That's my solidarity with being weird. There you go. That's about the worst thing I can come up with.
That was your awakening.
Coming out, if you will.
you know what it talks first off about the video story you ran, and then a couple comments you made before about dicks and this.
I prefer cock. Cock. Although I prefer a big hairy ass. Either way, for me, I didn't want to say I go both ways. That was before the Bronson stuff. I'm surprised you haven't played the Bronson stuff yet. Are you a Charlie Bronson fan, Robert?
I remember his movies. The only part of the Bronx I go to is Yankee Stadium. My friend once told me a story about going to a show in the Bronx, and I don't seek out those shows. If you guys know of one, I'll be more than happy to go. I have a few friends that I can bring bodyguards, and I'll be more than happy to.
No, we meant Bronson, not the Bronx. Charlie Bronson. Do you remember Charlie?
Oh, no, I know Charlie. No, I thought you were talking about the Bronx as well.
we did a little show about that.
I do remember seeing a movie when I was like 8, 9 years old. The whole series of movies and, basically shot and killed a lot of people.
Death Wish, yes.
And, great parenting. Like, I saw Death Wish when it came out in the movie theater for whatever fucked up reason. So, that and Star Wars are the two movies I remember.
Yeah. So then I'm sure you remember this line then.
Yeah, no good lousy bastards.
Or let's see, where's the other one? Hang on.
Where's the other one?
Oh, here it is.
Be prepared to meet Jesus, you dirty punk, you.
You rotten scum, you punk.
You no good lousy bastards. I'll kill you all for raping my daughter.
That was our tribute to Charles Bronson a few months ago. I don't know how the hell we got on the subject, but we started talking about Death Wish, and yeah, that was it.
Is Charles Bronson still alive?
I think he is, yeah.
Is he really? Wow. Maybe you stand the people in a nursing home now.
I mean, you just think of it as, is he? I don't know.
He's senile now and is getting pushed around and he threatens people with Jell-O.
Be prepared to meet Jell-O, you bastards.
I will work
you hard. Screw you guys. The literal connotation of that phrase is do in the butt.
Oh, come on now.
No, he did die 2003, August 30th, 2003, at 81 years old.
81,
wow.
Yeah.
Did you just Google that?
I went to IMDb.
Oh, okay. Well, so he would almost be 100 years old now.
Yeah, pretty close.
Wow. The way he was still alive. He seemed so young back then to me. Like, I guess he was in his 50s during the Death Wish movies.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. That's wild.
Wow.
Well, I guess there's hope for me yet. See, I could still play an angry old dude in the movie, I guess.
Yeah. But it took a long time for Charles. It took a long time for him to build up such a reputation.
That's true. He had to do, like, Kelly's Heroes and, like, the Dirty Dozen and stuff. So...
he had to kill a lot of people before he got there.
Exactly.
Would you listen to these morons?
Hey, what the hell? Anyway, we're running out of time. The live stream's almost over, and we'll be running out of the rest of the time soon. So, anyway, we got to wrap it up. So, Robert, thanks for calling in and joining in on the show. It was a lot of fun having you on, and come back anytime. We're here every Monday, 6 o'clock. So.
Absolutely. It was an absolute pleasure, and thank you. It was great talking to you guys, and hope you guys have a great night.
You too.
Absolutely.
You guys.
And it's Man Without a Filter. Is that the website?
Yeah, so my website's Man Without a Filter, and my Twitter account, you can either find me at MWAF Comedy or at Julius Jew. So I have two of them, one Man Without a Filter. My personal one is at Julius Jew. Yeah, for sure.
the Facebook page as soon as I turn that down. Okay, yeah, we'll be sure to post links to those on our Facebook page. And so, yeah, everybody can check them out there. So, anyway, yes, thanks again, Robert, and hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Yeah.
Good night.
Okay. And, yeah, Doc, what's coming up on Weird Scenes and Moving Towards Lights? What you call it? Sex Week Part 2 or what?
Well, yeah, but there's a problem there. Louis is having some personal issues at the moment. We're all facing job issues lately, as you know. So right now the show is temporarily on hiatus. He definitely kept coming back. It's just he didn't want me to put a date yet, so I just keep bumping the shows up by a week until we finally come back. But in terms of moving, yeah, we are doing one Tuesday, which is tomorrow, 6:30 Eastern, and I'm just looking for what the topic is. I believe it is service. Service. Most belief systems and practically applicable philosophies preach similar core tenets. Help those less fortunate. Be an active member of your community. Treat others with the same care, respect, and values you do yourself and those you love. So why do so many of us get so hung up on hating, quote, outsiders of whatever stripe? It's time to get real with ourselves and recognize the importance and the basic human need for self-examination and genuine humility. It's high time we actively practice getting over ourselves and recognizing none of us are the only or best person or persons on earth, unlike, say, Donald Trump, who thinks he is. We are all in this together, and it's time to own up to the fact. You morons! so that's tomorrow at 6:30. And, yeah, whenever we finally get the date for Moving Towards Light, we'll keep everybody appraised, obviously, via the Facebook pages. And we'll probably be returning with the intended second half of what was going to be Sex Week.
Very cool. So we'll keep an eye out for all that. And just keep checking out the Big Papa Online page, too, for all those updates as well. Because that's where everything is, facebook.com/BigPapaOnline. So, don't forget to...
I think you better take Miss Lane home.
What about the story Mr. White and Mr. Kent came down here for? Who's going to cover it?
Yes, what about that?
You'll hear from Kent on that subject.
Oh, we will we?
Yes, now please leave at once before something else happens.
All right, but it's against my better judgment.
And now that DC Comics is getting ready to sue us for playing Superman clips... So don't forget to tune in next week for the first ever at eye level presidential debate with the two Donalds and Bernie Sanders. You don't want to miss this one. That's a for sure. So peace out, y'all.
You're listening to the Big Papa Net, Papa Net, Papa Net.
Didi Perks members enjoy a Dunkin' Donuts specially crafted medium latte or macchiato for $1.99 when using an Enroll Didi card. Try the new fudge brownie or vanilla cupcake flavor. Enroll in Didi Perks today and get your $1.99 medium latte or macchiato. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. It's go time at Dunkin' Donuts. Get your day going with two wake-up wraps for $2. Add bacon, sausage, or ham for $1 more. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.